I'm Hallie Power. I am 43 years old. Today is Friday, September 23rd, 2022. We are located in Salt Lake City, Utah, and the person I'm interviewing is my husband, Jeremy Power.
And I am Jeremy Power. I am 48 years old, and it's the same date, Friday, September 23rd, 2022, in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I am interviewing Hallie Power, my wife. So...
And we're here to talk about our experience with you being in the military.
Yes.
Do you want me to start?
Sure. Tell me more about your experience with me being in the military.
Now I don't know where to start. Okay. How about I will just tell you my favorite experience. Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the funniest things. While you were in basic training, Everett and I flew out to your basic training graduation, and I'm not sure if you know the whole story, but Everett at the time, he's our son, who was 3 at the time, did not sleep at all because we were at the hotel the night before. And so we drove to the middle of Kentucky, and we stopped at a gas station to use the restroom. And I was extremely tired and really worn out, and I wasn't paying attention. And he took the rental key cars and flushed them down the toilet. So I was stuck in the middle of Kentucky, in the middle of an army post that I had never been on, without car keys to get to your graduation. So, thankfully, some army guys were really nice at the stop it because I was crying because I had had it. And they stopped and they were like, hey, what's the issue? And I was like, okay, you're not going to believe this, but my 3-year-old just flushed my car keys down the toilet. And they were like, okay, let us get the MPs and get you help. And they're like, oh, well, we can't really help you because... their rent-a-car keys, so I had to call the rent-a-car place and have them bring me a spare keys. So I was really worried about missing your graduation because I had not seen you for 8 weeks. And so the MP's like, oh, we can give you a ride to your graduation, but since you're not like in the military, you have to ride in the back of the police car. And because we have people in the car, we have to run the lights. So I showed up to your graduation in the back of a MP car with the lights going. So people all were staring at me. It was very uncomfortable. So were you even aware that was going on?
Not at the time, no.
So, yeah, it was very... So that is how we started. That's how I started your military career, was in the back of the MP car with... a 3-year-old who had flushed R, and it just went downhill from that, honestly.
Went downhill from then.
Yes. Everything was like, I should have known then. I should have just been like, no, peace out. Everett and I are not, we're going to just stay where we live. You have fun for the next 4 years.
Wow.
Do you have any other questions about my experiences?
No. That's kind of... No, I'm just thinking about that. That's kind of crazy. But you stuck with it.
Yeah. So what was your fun... like, favorite story of being in the military?
Oh, my gosh. Well, one... I'm trying to think. Because there's one story that came up that I completely forgot about till you mentioned the StoryCorps thing. And that was at Fort Bragg. And getting volunteered for a detail to go to a funeral.
Okay.
So we had to go do a funeral detail while we were... I don't know what we were supposed to do out there. It was just me and this one other guy. And we got lost going to it. It was a cabin in the middle of the woods.
Uh-huh.
It was some secret, not secret, but like private service organization for retired service members that all belong to like this one specific unit.
Uh-huh.
And they all had their funerals out there and we got lost. We had to ask the mailman how to get to it because it was like a dirt road through the trees and backwoods of North Carolina. Absolutely crazy. When we got there, it was just crazy. It was a weird experience. And it was a funeral for all these old guys.
Like a bunch of old guys or just one old guy?
Well, it was one person was in the, it was a funeral for one person, but it was like all these people that were part of this unit that had all been in the unit for, and I think it was like one group, like they were all in it for like 10 years together and did all these things together and they formed their own little club when they all retired. And the neatest thing though was the wives were there of all the people that had passed away already. And I got to sit and just talk with the wives about their husbands and kind of what they did or what they didn't do.
Like, what do you mean what they didn't do?
Well, like the wives didn't know anything about what their husbands did.
Oh.
Because this was like back in the like 70s.
So.
70s, 80s. And the wives just did what wives, back then the military, they just did wife things and raised kids and did. And their husbands went off to work and left. And when they came home, they were home. And when they were gone, they were gone. And the wives were just like, they had no idea when they were going to be home or gone. So it was kind of neat just to listen to these stories. One wife was saying that her husband was gone for like 2 years. She never saw him for 2 years.
And had no idea where he was.
Had no idea where he was. She just kept getting paid and got letters and every once in a while. So she knew he was alive. And that was like standard for these wives. It was just kind of crazy.
Do you think it's the same way now? Like, do you think that was like, do you think that is standard for now? Like,
I don't. No, now it's a lot different.
You think wives are more involved?
I think there's more communication. I don't know if the wives are listening there. The spouses are necessarily more involved, but.
Yeah. Do you think I was overly involved in your military career? Like, would you have preferred a wife that didn't know what was going on? And that was just like, hey, thanks for the paycheck. Peace out.
I don't know, because I didn't have a wife that was just, had a separate life from the military. She was very involved. I knew what was going on, because it was like a investment, like, well, it's like, our family has a lot of military in it, and the spouses are like, they're, career is my career. Their career is my retirement, my well-being. So a lot of the spouses are very invested in pushing their husbands to do better because that's kind of their own, since they don't work and they don't have ability to work because they're military and they move around a lot. Kind of their career is making sure their husband's career gets going and gets pushed forward and they get promoted.
And you liked that aspect or no?
I don't know if I liked it or disliked it. That's just the way it was. And it benefited us for the short time.
Yeah, I think I would have preferred to have my own life while we were in the military. I don't think I enjoyed that your career was our whole life.
Yeah.
Like it was, like I felt like I was just kind of stuck somewhere and I didn't really have a say in my own life or choices. And like a lot of the spouses were like that and they loved like, oh, I clean my house. I have a bunch of kids. Like my husband's career is my career, but I didn't want that to be like my life. Like, and I think that's where I struggled the most being mm-hmm. in the military. Like you being in the military was because like my identity was dependent. Like I didn't have my own identity. It was like, I am Sergeant Power's wife. I am Everett's mom. But there was like no space for me to be anything but those two things. And every time I tried to do my own thing, I think I got squashed. Like,
yeah.
So I think nowadays, I don't think women are raised to have their husbands and identity be their identity. So when you join the military and you're told, like, your goal is to, and every, like, group, like, family group we went to, I was told that our job was to support the soldiers. The number one goal was the mission. And they even then were telling us, like, don't tell your husband if things are going, while you're deployed, that things are going bad or you're struggling, because their mission is war and your mission is to keep your family functioning. But I don't think that's, like, a healthy way, because, like, I struggled. Those 4 years were, like, the biggest struggle of my life, because I didn't have an identity, mm-hmm. and I didn't, like, and I couldn't ask you for support. And our son was falling apart. Like, he was, like that story is very, like, classic, like, literally the, like, but when I saw you, I didn't say a word. I didn't say, hey, I rode in a cop car here and I don't have a, and I'm stuck in the middle of, because I had been told by your mom, your aunt, like, if I screw up, then I ruin your career, which is, like, not, I think, accurate at all. So I just, a lot of stuff that went on, I don't think I ever even talked to you about it, because it was just like, I didn't want to affect your career. And then whenever it got really sick and I told you about it, it did affect your career. And then I felt guilty, like, that I ruined, and your mom told me that I ruined your career by being honest about our life. But when your child is sick and peeing his pants all the time, and, like, even when I called you to let you know Everett had diabetes, and, like, it wasn't the best time to tell you because you were deployed, but I was like I don't think it was, like, healthy not to tell you. I didn't want you to come home from Iraq and be like, hey, by the way, your child is a type 1 diabetic, and we spent, so I think that is one of the things that even in the military they push now is not healthy. Like, it's not a good thing to, one, tell, and it's not even, I mean, now it's different. There's male spouses. I mean, it wasn't just the women that were told it's your job, but your spouse was supposed to be their mission and get them ready. And mm-hmm. I don't think, honestly, that was the healthiest thing to do to someone, was saying, hey, your identity is now the military and your job is so to support your, I think that's why when people get out of the military, not only the soldiers lose their identity, but so do the wives, because they're no longer such and such wife and this is their career. I think it's probably why divorces go up after people leave the military. Do you agree? Like, do you feel like do you have anger towards me that I ruined your career?
No.
Being honest about everything?
No, I agree that being honest and bringing up that stuff did pretty much halt my career. I mean, that's the military's issue, not our issue. Because now, 23 years later, we're still married.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be if you hadn't have done that. So that's the important part.
Are you somewhat resentful?
No.
Because I know, like, there are other military wives that are, they're, like, have retired and their wives were more the, I don't tell my husband what goes on and I fix everything and I'm pretty, and I think sometimes I wonder if you wished you would have had someone more like that.
Not really.
Because I do tend to.
I mean, I don't.
Even now, I mean, think
it's hard to, like, guess what life would have been like if we would have been that way. Because right now we're in a great spot. And
yeah, it's taken a long time to get to that great spot.
And because of all the stuff we've gone through and being honest or giving that up,
Yeah.
Or choosing family and each other in a relationship over those things. It's been beneficial in the long run. Now, if you would have asked me that in 2007 when all this was going on, I might have had a different answer.
Yeah, I feel like...
Because it was at the moment, things were different. But
I feel like when you got out, you were like...
I might have, but I can't
remember. Were really resentful against me. Like, you were very angry at me because you had envisioned this super high-speed military career and it didn't work out.
Right. Because you're on one track and all of a sudden it gets derailed.
Yeah.
And it,
which you can't really, like, I mean, you can't help if your kid becomes a type 1 diabetic.
No.
I know that it almost feels like people blamed me for him being diabetic.
Well, my mom did.
Well, yes, your mom did. Yeah, but you can't really give your kid diabetes.
Mm-mm, no.
So. So what do you think was, like, the hardest thing? Like, of being in the military, like, I'll be honest, it felt like when you joined, it was an easy way for you to get out of, like, keep doing your responsibilities, but then you got to leave and not, like, but it was socially, like, acceptable for you to, like, leave your family and not take mm-hmm. care of those responsibilities. Do you, like, is that accurate? Like, it was a good time to leave a toddler and, you know,
it was a good time to get out.
Yeah.
During the terrible twos.
Yeah.
And be a socially acceptable way to abandon your family.
Without
and
getting
still support them.
Yes.
No, I laugh because I think it is true. I think a lot of people do that. I mean, I think this kind of this romanticized thing of joining the military for your country, God country, and all this stuff. And it's like so many, I mean, I was 28, what, 27, 28
27.
When I joined?
27. You were
27,
older.
Yeah. But when I got in there, there were 18, 19-year-old kids in the exact same situation. Like, their high school girlfriend got pregnant. They needed health care. They needed a job. Yet, there are also 18-year-old kids that I think normally would have just bailed on responsibilities. That's kind of the type of kids they were. Like, just generally speaking, completely generalization. I mean, not picking on anyone specifically. But, yeah, and it was. It's an honorable thing to do to get out of your responsibilities while still upholding your responsibilities. Because you leave for minimum of 8 weeks for your basic training. And like you say, I was actually there for, what, 12 weeks?
Holdover, yeah.
Because of the holdover. Like, I got there and they still didn't start training for another month.
I almost...
So it was like 12 weeks, I was gone, 3 months.
Did you volunteer to be held over?
I did not volunteer.
I always wondered. I always wondered if he was like, if you were like, longer time away.
Yeah. No, I think in 2002, they enlisted a whole bunch of people because they were ramping up for, you know, this really short, quick military thing going on in the Middle East.
That is still going on?
It's still going on. And so they had all these people, but no one to train them. And then you get done with that. 8 to 12 weeks, and then you've got your specialty training after that.
Yeah.
And mine was 6 months.
Yeah.
And then that 6 months turned into 18 months of training.
Yeah.
So I initially went in to be gone for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I'm gone, what was it, two years?
2 years.
Of just training.
Training, yeah.
And we got lucky because you got to come and live with me for that last year. But... like, if I wanted to, or anyone in that position could have said, no, they're just going to stay.
Yeah.
So for 2 years, you could be gone, have a family, support them, have a job, but not have any responsibilities as a parent to your kids.
And did you do that back then? Like, were you like, hey, I can do this?
Not that I was aware of.
Like,
I mean, that wasn't my goal. My goal at the time was desperation to make sure you guys had food.
Yeah,
and health insurance.
And I think a lot of people do join the military because to get out of a bad situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once you get out, like you say, you'd have to be at work at 6 a.m. and sometimes you get home at 5, sometimes you get 6. Sometimes on Christmas morning at 3 a.m. you get a call and they say you have to come into work.
Correct. Yeah, I remember that. Because
the guy that's here got in a car accident and got hit by a drunk driver and now you have to replace him.
Yeah.
And you miss Christmas with your family. I mean, so if you really... So the long and short of what you're asking, I think if someone wanted to do that, yes, it's a great escape for people that want to like go in and have nothing to do with their family, but look like they're
doing
the right thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a big, long segue around.
No, I mean, it answered my question. And I'm sure there are. Yeah. And I mean, and not everyone in the military, that's what they're doing.
No.
There are some people that are very like, I want to serve my country, and right. This is the best way to do it.
And they're all from Texas.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
What do they say? In every group in the military, you've got a kid from Texas, from Utah, and from West Virginia.
It's true.
And it's really weird.
It's like, yeah, actually, every now that I think group about has it,
one person from
every one of your units.
Every single unit has.
Because you were from Utah.
So I was from Utah.
And someone from West Virginia and someone from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. So now we've kind of talked negatively about the military.
Well, I don't know if that's negative. I mean, just kind of there's.
It's fact. It's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was. And at the time,
no, I had fun in the military because I just got to play, you know, like a 7-8-year-old kid for years.
That's true.
For like 3 years, I just got to go play every day. And but it sucked for you.
Yeah, it really did.
I mean, they'd be like, you have to go here and you're going to be stuck here for 2 weeks and you're a mile from home. But you can't go home and you can't call home. And you can't help anyone out at home because you have to be here living in this tent for 2 weeks.
And it did feel like a lot of times you were playing. Like, and I'm sure you weren't.
Yeah.
But it felt like you would leave in the morning and you would go exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would play all day. Well, I mean, not when you're deployed. I mean, that's a whole different story.
Right. That's why I said like 3 years, you know.
Like while you were in training. Yeah.
Right.
Or, like
you say, you go in and they'd be like, we don't have anything to do today, but you can't go home till 4. So I'm, you know, what did we live like 800 yards from where I worked? And
yeah, the time,
they would be like, you can't go home and just come back if we need you. You have to stay here.
And so you would just occupy your time with whatever.
With whatever.
Did you ever feel guilty, like the fact home with
I would much rather have just been sitting at home and just had someone call me and say, hey, you need to be here in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then just go back.
Yeah, it was. That's why I think it would have been, if I would have had my own, like, identity in life, I think it would have been a lot easier I probably wouldn't have been so angry all the time. Because I feel like I spend a lot of those. I mean, we had some really funny stories and we met some really awesome people.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Like people I would never in a million years normally talk to.
No.
Like. No.
I'm trying to think of that one guy that was just, did tattoos out of his front yard.
Oh, yeah.
Or out of in his front room.
Yeah.
Who was a pagan, but.
One of the nicest guys.
Yeah. Wasn't a pagan. I don't know. He worships. Can't remember
Thor the
Nordic
or some,
religions. Yeah,
yeah. He was
one of the most nicest, open-minded, caring people you'd ever think. But he was covered head to toe in horrible tattoos that he did himself.
Yeah, or like the guy that
had
was,
like 3 teeth.
Yeah, from the Bronx. Like I would have never met inner city kids, or like the 18-year-old neighbor that got pregnant. Like I would have never talked to.
Or having to register someone's spouse for high school.
That
because they just moved there and their spouse was 17 and hadn't finished high school yet.
Yeah. I mean, and
they were from Texas.
Now there were all walks of life. I mean, and there were our friends that were college educated and joined to pay off their student loans.
The dentist who got dental school paid for and
ended
up being assigned to a helicopter company to do dental work for helicopter crews.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, there were.
Flew around in helicopters for 5 years.
There were definitely people I don't like. That was. I would say that was one of the best parts. Or there were people that I would have never met or talked to, or like the single mom who was from the deep south and raising three kids on her own. Like, I don't think that's normally, especially from being from Utah, we're pretty bland here. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, living on base was, or the post housing was pretty exciting.
It was pretty interesting.
Got to meet a lot of.
Remember our old neighbor that we thought, I just thought she had kids with different, like a different dad. Mm-hmm. And there was an army guy there the whole time. And then one day, I saw like a different guy go into the house. And then I saw that guy go running down the street really fast. And then across the street, the window opened and like the lady's stuff was just flying out the window because that was not her husband. And apparently he didn't tell her she was. I mean, things like that happened all the time that I don't see our neighbors now doing that. So there were some pretty funny things.
They're much more civil about that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was definitely some very interesting experiences that I don't think I would change.
Or,
I mean, and I'm not angry you joined the military. I just feel like for a lot of years I was like, oh, and I think that was the hard, especially because the war in Iraq was going on and the war in Afghanistan was going on. I think that was the hardest part was everyone's like, oh, your husband's a hero. He's serving his country. And then I felt bad because I was like, no, he's just avoiding things at home, because that's what it felt like. It felt like a good excuse for you. And people would probably think I'm awful even saying this now. Like, if someone heard this,
I'm sure someone would. But because I don't think that.
Because I didn't support my husband. But, and I mean, I didn't protest when you joined. I just felt like once you joined, it was like 4 years of me being the only grown up. Like, I had to do like everything, like pay your bills and make sure everything was done. Yeah. Because you had this always excuse that you're like, oh, I'm in the service and I don't know when I'm going to deploy and I don't know when I'm going to, so I don't have to do any of the grown up responsibilities.
Yeah, because you had to take on.
And then when you left, I was left with a kid who was, well, obviously was sick because he got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, but fell apart. Like, he could not handle the separation. He's still like that.
Yeah.
Like, and then I felt like a bad person for being like, hey, this is extremely hard and our kid falls apart. But then I was being that, like, I was a bad person for, like, not wanting you to serve your country. Like, I felt like a really selfish person because, especially you being a nurse, like, you were out there helping people and saving people. And then I was like, hey, but we have this kid falling apart. And I just felt guilty for having needs all the time. Like, for wanting to have you home or needing another adult. That's what, like, honestly, I'm sure if we were wealthy and had a great nanny, I probably would have been fine. But it was the fact that I was literally stuck home with a 3-year-old and he was struggling. And then when I talked to the other wives, they kind of shamed me. Like, they were just like, but it's our job. It's our duty. This is the life and the duty of a spouse in the military. You support your husband and you make sure everything runs well at home. Mm-hmm. And I was not good at that because I was like, I need an adult to talk to that isn't 3 who is falling apart. So definitely thought that was like I definitely walked around with like a lot of guilt for not being like, my husband's amazing. He's serving the country. Because I was like, nope, he's kind of a jerk. And he's running away from us and taking the easy way out almost, which I know it's not the easy way out. Being in the military is not easy. And I'm sure you dealt with more than we ever talk about.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing. We've been out for a long time, but we never talk about it. We talk about like funny stories, but we don't ever.
Well, no, I mean, you felt like, you know, I ran away, gave you all this responsibility, didn't really have your input into it.
No.
Which is something that happened. And then on top of that, you're like, no support group for you.
And I didn't have any.
No, like adult support.
Well, and you don't really have a say in your life. They're like, hey, we're moving your spouse to North Carolina. Have a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you're moving to Texas. Have a good time. Like, and they're like, oh, you have choices. You don't have to move with your spouse.
Yeah.
I got told that all the time. But it's like,
you can live wherever you want. They just have to move.
Yeah.
It's almost like you have to choose between like having an identity and who you want, like having a personal identity and help and support and keeping your family together.
Exactly. I think, I've never been aware that you were like aware that that's how it was for me.
I wasn't. I mean, I am now. We've talked about it a couple times in the past 20 years. But.
Yeah. I think that's what's interesting. We hear all these stories about military, but I don't think we hear a lot of stories about the spouses and their what they go through.
No.
It's always like, hey, we went off to war and this is what it's like. And which isn't like a huge
When they talk about how difficult it is for the spouses, I think. I mean, you always hear it's hard for the spouses, but they never talk about how or what's hard for them.
Or the fact that they make it hard for... Yeah, like they're the ones making it hard for your spouses.
Right, the culture itself is making it more difficult on the spouses.
Yeah, exactly.
What it needs to be.
Well, hopefully it'll change. Probably not.
Probably not.
It is the government. Things are slow.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank goodness.
Sometimes, yeah.
Because I still have a job, so it takes a while.
True.
For them to figure out where I am.
Well, thank you for sitting down and actually have a conversation about this with me.
You're welcome.
It took me to get you here in a room where someone else, you couldn't run away. So that works out.
Oh, so that's it. I see.
Yeah.
Run away.
You can't run away. Well, I appreciate you.
So you mentioned earlier about like kind of the identity issue.
Yeah.
That you said you wish if you were to do it again, you would have like, would have had more of a personal identity.
Yeah.
If you would have done it again, what do you mean by that?
I meant like.
Like what would have you done differently?
I would have probably not followed you around. I would have I would have gone to school.
Okay.
Maybe not because Everett was struggling so hard, but I. Would have just been, I wouldn't have been Sergeant Power's wife. I would have been like, no, I'm Hallie. Okay. Like, I'm not just Everett's wife. I'm not just, my husband's not in the army. There's like, yeah, I would have been distinct. Like,
so you're not sure exactly specifically what you would have done, but you would have distinctly had an identity separate from the military.
Yeah, completely. I would have probably volunteered or gotten a job, and I would have gotten friends that weren't just military wives. I would have probably not lived on post. Like,
okay.
I would have, and then, yeah, I would have just, like it is now, like I'm, because now I'm no longer Sergeant Power's wife. I'm Hallie Power, and I have a different, I have a job. I have an education.
Yeah. I think everyone knows me as Hallie Power's husband.
Probably maybe now. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to do that.
No, that's great. I love it.
Yeah, so just like, yeah, gone to school, made my own friends, been my own person. Because they're literally the people I talk to were the people you talk to.
Right.
Like, my support group were the Army wives, which they were amazing people, but it didn't separate me.
They're like this attitude that you don't associate outside of your unit.
Yeah.
And then...
Which I broke all the time.
Which you broke all the time. But then when I was in a unit of like 15 people, like you're not supposed to associate with anything but these 15 people in the world. Like that's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And
so
if you were to do it again, or kind of like advice for people, like just get your own identity outside of
be your spouses
or the military.
And not be afraid to say, hey, things are not okay. I'm not okay. I need help. Like, not this whole, like, everything is fine. And then find people who aren't going to make you feel bad for struggling. Like, like, with anything in life, I think, if you have a good support group and if when I meet people and they're joining the military, I'm always like, do your own person. You don't, like... And do what works for your marriage. Don't do what they tell you works for your marriage. Like, be your own person. I think people who do that are much more accepting. And in general, I would just say in general in life.
In general, do what works for you.
And be your own person. Yeah. Be not afraid to be who you are. Because I spent a lot of years pretending to be someone that I was not.
I think you summed it up there where you say be around people that are supportive.
Yeah, find a good support group.
Find people that support you for you, for what you like, and then be around those people.
Exactly.
They may not be who you think. They may be the awful tattooed guy with the Thor hammer.
Or the guy from the hood.
Or the guy from the hood.
Who's there because he was forced to be.
Yeah.
But if they support you exactly. Well, thank you so much for
You're welcome.
Opening up with me and